Awesome. Oh, hello everybody. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. We are so excited, so pleased and blessed to see you, to be able to see you again. And we highly appreciate the friendship we have with your leaders and with the saints of this congregation. You're amazing, you're awesome, and we really believe God has a specific purpose to carry to this world through this ministry and through this group of people. And we are so blessed just to be able to know you and be friends in the presence of God and His glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are coming from a three-day conference from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And maybe you know that we are related to the ministry of Georgian Banoff. And we are teachers currently in his School of the Supernatural. So he invited us for this conference, and it was very intensive, but it was such a blessing for us to spend time with this great man of God and with Georgian personally. We are still currently living in Florida. And people were asking me, hey, Mitko, how is in Florida? And I go, like, it's boring, you know, summer, 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 summer. No mountains, no trees, you know, nothing to go up and down. It is just flat and summer, summer, summer. Just kidding. Praise God. It's a blessing. So our kids live in Florida, so it's a blessing for us to be beside them and together. So, but most of all, we're excited what God is doing with our ministry. We started like 4 years ago, we started a Bible school, international online, which was right before the pandemic for our little country of Bulgaria. And amazingly, the school is growing and increasing the influence for Bulgaria through this school. So this year, we have 300, it started like 275 at the beginning of September. These people enrolled for the school, but they kept on coming more and more. So currently we have like almost 300 enrolled for the school. That will be the mighty army of God for the nation of Bulgaria, the army of Gideon, the supernatural power of God. I'm telling you, we are so excited what God is doing, because we see a whole nation changed by the gospel of Christ. Religion is gone. I'm talking about genuine revival. You know, when Paul preached the gospel, the Bible says extraordinary miracles were taking place as a result. He was not focused on the miracles. He was not pursuing and running after miracles. Miracles were a result of that, this great message of what Christ has accomplished for every one of us, you know. So that's what we see in the school. We preach this genuine message of the finished work and the great glory of God being with men. Isn't that an amazing promise, that the glory of God is with men, not will be, is with us currently. Emmanuel, God is with us. How wonderful is this? And we see amazing things happening with the gypsies community, with the Bulgarians, you know, all these things. And can't wait, you know, to already started actually last week, but to unfold this glorious gospel into their lives and to see right in front of our eyes how they transformed after the image of His beloved Son. Amen. Praise God. Oh, Benna is helping me. We have like 40 pastors. You know, these are leaders. Do you know how important is that? It means their congregations and their churches will never be the same. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anything else? This is my beautiful wife, Albena. She is my right hand. And she is the helper and my joy and my princess and my crown. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I came, you know, to bless you, to lift you up, to strengthen you, and to help you to move further. Amen. No matter where you are, God doesn't want you to be stuck at one and the same place. Even the New Testament says about you are saved, you are already blessed, all these things, but you are called to grow into those things, grow up and get more and more enlarged and mature in everything God has called you to be. Amen? So no matter how well you are doing currently, I am telling you there is more. Amen? That's why eternity is our destiny. Because even when one day we will be transformed and be with the Lord and enter into this glorious promise of His kingdom, still, we won't be inactive. We won't be just floating in the air, you know. God is creating the ages, and He has appointed the church to rule and reign with Him in creativity, divine creativity, and holy righteousness for the whole eternity. I'm telling you, this journey is amazing, already has started, but it will end up gloriously. And it will end up like forever and ever, no end of this amazing call God has called you to be with Him in everything He has been involved. Jesus has given you His Spirit, His glory, His privileges, His status. As He is, so are we in this world. Everything. And I'm telling you, we are following with God. Woo, praise God. Everything which is related to God and Jesus, we are invited, what? To partake. That's a great call, don't you think so? You see, this great call, this great destiny, this great journey God has predestined before you is way greater just to slowly advancing and still looking back of what was before with your former life, before you got converted. The sooner, the better. The sooner you turn your eyes, your attention, and your whole expectation to God, the better, I'm telling you, your life and image and everything will be transformed according to His good pleasures, good intentions, divine kind intentions of which Paul speaks in the book of Ephesians. Aren't you glad that God is not mad on you, but He has kind intentions towards you? He is a good father. He is a good father. Holy, righteous, and full of chesed. The Hebrew word for chesed means loving kindness, steadfast love. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. This is the Holy One, the Righteous One, and the Good One. Praise God. So, God gave me a message for your church, for the current season. And I'm so privileged and so excited to share that message with you. It's kind of a prophetic impartation for the current time and the current season. I follow my wife's advice. She said, don't preach theology because you cannot beat Pastor John. No matter how hard you try, you always will be behind. So you better leave that, you know, and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Just kidding. Amen. So the title, just which every the rest of the time will go under, is I Surrender. I Surrender. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. It's not a scary place to be. You know, I surrender to what? I surrender to the divine will, to the kind intentions, to the purposes and the plans of God for my life. You know why we need to surrender? Why we need to come to a place where we have to surrender? The simple reason is, do you know that you are made after the likeness and the image of God? That's what the Bible says through the mouth of God. Let us make man after our own likeness and image. And what is so specific about God? What is this in us which matches God perfectly? It is this thing that He has given you a free will. He has given you the right to choose willfully, willingly. You know, it is your own right. You are privileged. You are privileged with the right to choose by yourself. I really believe we are higher than angels in some ways, you know. Although they live with God, although they are constantly in the sphere of His presence and they are spiritual beings, the Bible doesn't say that angels are made after His likeness and image. Man was privileged, you know, with His great privilege. And one of the things we possess, you know, it is this will. And of course, that's a great responsibility. Amen. As the saying goes, to whom much is given, much is required. But still, I think we are not robots. We are not machines. We are not just some kind of complex of principles. We have that beautiful, amazing right to choose willingly to obey to God. And I'm telling you, there is no better place for men to be and no highest position ever, but that place on which you bow down before Him and you say like Jesus, not my will, not my... Even Jesus, imagine, he was the Son of Man, but He was the Son of God. And He came at one point, He came to that blessed position, you know, where He declared, and it is written in the records of the Bible, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed three times. Do you know that Jesus never prayed more than once? Read your Bible and you will see whatever was happening, you know, like signs, wonders, miracles, provision, needs and stuff like that. He always prayed once only and it was answered immediately. I love that passage which says about Jesus. With one word, He delivered them from their evil spirits and healed all who were sick. That's an amazing scripture, you see. But in this time, when He came to the Garden of Gethsemane in the last hours of His life, you know, before to go to the cross, He prayed three times, if it's possible, let this cup pass me, you know, like He was horrified, literally, of what would follow, because He had to, not just the physical suffering, you see, the criminals on the cross were not so terrified. So why Jesus was so horrified and terrified to go to the cross? Because He had to identify His identity with the identity of the fallen humanity. And that was the most terrifying place to be. The Holy One, oh praise God, the Lamb of God, without spot, without anything, you know, which defiles, had to put on Himself. And as Paul says in the book of Corinthians, the one who knew no sin was made was made, the sin of the world was placed upon him, and he became sin bearer for your sake and my sake. So one day we can boldly, are you with me? We can boldly stand in the presence of the glory of the Father without any condemnation, as the Bible says, blameless in joy. Who, praise be to this Lamb of God. In that place, the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus fell under the burden, and the Bible says even his sweat became like huge drops of blood. That's the pressure on the inside. It's not by accident that the name of the place is Gethsemane, which translated in English means an olive press. That was the place where they would put the olives, the fruit of the olives, you know, under the pressure of huge stone, and they will crush the olives with everything, the whole substance, in order they may obtain this golden substance of the olive oil, which is a blessing, which speaks of the anointed one. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, went under that pressure and for you and for me, in order that salvation may proceed out, that anointing, that grace, saving grace, may proceed out of this holy decision of saying yes to the Father. And there was no, listen folks, there was no other way. Because the price for you and me to be brought to the Father is only a human could pay that price. But that if that human is sinful, the human will pay for its own sins. So the requirement was an innocent, pure and holy sacrifice would be presented for you and for me. And he did it. He did it, and he said yes to the Father. Why in a garden? Why in a garden? Why not some other place? You know, they were already in a room taking communion. Why not there? Because if you remember how all started in the beginning, it was a garden where men trespassed and choose to believe the lies of the serpent and turn his back on the Lord, you know, and say yes to the serpent. Now, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ, came to a garden and he turned his face to the Father and he said yes to the Father and no to the serpent. And that brought the great reverse, you know, from darkness to light and total restoration for you and for me. I'm telling you, we don't understand much when it comes to obedience and surrender, because we were born independent. We were born under the influence of the serpent, you know, in this independence, which is not good, because we men, as you see, God is our creator and he made you with a purpose. Amen. He didn't make you to live independently and for your own sake. He made you to live for him, because without him, you know, there is no purpose. Say amen. Amen. No matter. Listen, I really appreciate the great purposes each and every one of us have in his own life. You know, these things, they have their place. But there is a primary purpose above all. Say amen. Above everything else. And if you miss that prime purpose, you know, which stands like a king above all, I'm telling you, the rest won't last. The rest will not fulfill the desire of your heart, because only God can fill you on the inside. Why I'm sure about that? Because first of all, it's proven in the world. One of the most desperate and wretched people in the world are the those who are high position, high privileged, full of money, full of every privilege, and yet we see their lives devastated. That's terrible. Why? Because they are missing the great purpose that we are made for Him. And the second thing, not only what we see in the world, the second thing is man is a spiritual being. You are not just flesh. No matter how much you pamper your flesh with delicacies, with good clothes, with comfort, with everything you can allow yourself, you will never reach full satisfaction. Why? Because in the core of your being, you are not flesh and bones. You are a spiritual being with a spiritual origin, dependent, still dependent on the spiritual nature of God, after whose image you are made. That's why we need to come to the Lord and surrender in order He may fill this emptiness on the inside. And He promised you will never lack and you will never thirst. Praise God. And now let me go to the Old Testament. You remember, maybe if you're familiar with the Bible, there was a place in the Bible when King Saul, the first king of Israel, was sent on a mission, okay? And the mission was to destroy a group of people which were severe enemies of the nation of God. So they were placed under a curse way before Saul became king, but it was just he was called for the fulfillment. So when he went to these people and he fought with them, he won the battle and he spared the king, the head of this group of people, and they brought some fat, ox and sheep and spoils, and they took it and brought it to Israel. But the requirement was that everything which they will face had to be annihilated, had to be destroyed and burned down, you know, and just wiped out of the face of the earth. But they didn't obey. So King Saul is coming back and met by the prophet from which he was sent to this mission, Samuel. And Samuel goes, "What happened? How did it work?" And Saul is boasting, "Oh, I went, I fought, I won the battle, I did what you sent me for." And then Samuel is asking, "Then what is this sound I'm hearing? You know, these sheep and oxen, they were feeling uncomfortable because they were translated from their place into a new place, and it is a lot of havoc." And Samuel goes, "What are these noises? What are these animals then?" And Saul goes like, "Oh, we brought them to sacrifice to the Lord." Actually, I really believe the reason was not that much to sacrifice, but to take advantage, amen, of the spoils. And then Samuel got really upset, you know, and he said, "You didn't obey the voice of God." And then he proclaims one of the most powerful statements till today, I believe, in the Bible, where he says, "Don't you know that obedience is more sought after and more desirable in the face of God, in the eyes of God, than sacrifices?" So are you with me at that specific precious moment? You see, that statement still has power for us today as a great reminder. Listen, folks, obedience is greater than sacrifices. And no matter how many sacrifices we do, I really believe that what God is after and what God is seeking for and expecting in our lives is to say yes to the place where we say yes and we surrender to His desire and to His will. So now, don't get nervous, because when we come to a place like that, many people are shaking and trembling in their boots, and they go like, oh my gosh, if the Lord says tomorrow or right now, go to Zimbabwe, sell everything, go to Zimbabwe and become a missionary, what shall I do since I have to please Him? Now, God doesn't start with Zimbabwe. If I, you know, God starts with maybe rejoice, maybe just don't be bitter, be thankful, be grateful. These are little things. These are the little ABC we need to teach ourselves and start learning how to obey God. How about forsake your cultural prejudice, backgrounds you've learned from the world, and start identifying with the culture and the mentality and everything of heaven? Amen. That's what the Bible says through Paul constantly. Because these people he was preaching, some of them were Roman citizens, the other barbarians, other were Jewish, other were Greeks, some of them were masters, some of them were slaves. And now he goes like, you guys need to forget these identities, these prime identity over this, you know, which comes from Christ. And he is, infiltering, he is imparting a new culture, a new mentality, which God himself defines. And I'm telling you, we need to obey these prescriptions which are in the New Testament. Most of the times we don't pay that much attention and we are seeking after great things. But I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us we need to be faithful to the little, and then God will give you more and more increase. And if you really want to see increase, I'm telling you something. You cannot skip the little things. Amen. Amen. So, obeying and surrendering start with the little things. Because we go, oh, that must be not so important currently for the Lord concerning my life or my identity. What he's seeking after and for is some kind of a great gift, great mission, you know, something. He is not that interested in the little. Oh, no. Oh, no. With our children, we pay attention to the small things. If you have children, you know that the great purpose is maybe one day this kid to go to college and finish strong. Amen? But in the process of time, you teach them how to walk, how to button themselves, how to stand, how to behave. Are you with me? Amen. So I really believe God is still disciplining us and working with us in a small things which help us. Let me put it in that way. God is not using you, is not depriving you, and is not taking advantage of you. God is, are you with me, always promoting you. Always promoting you. You may not feel like that. You may not see in this way. But the final result of this is, the end result is always you will be greater. You will be stronger. You will be going from glory to greater glory. From grace to greater grace. And all these things I'm telling you, it is a journey and it is a process which is called spiritual maturity. We are called also to a place of spiritual maturity. As children of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, because I don't want you to be lost in the terminology, you know, of the New Testament and all these things. So I want to give you a pictorial example, okay? As the saying goes, a picture is worth yet more than a thousand words. Amen? So we will go to the Old Testament and see a picture, a beautiful type and shadow. Most of the stories in the Old Testament, in the Bible, concerning people's lives, you know, events and all kind of stuff, they always have a triune meaning, okay? We have a literal one, which is historical records, you know, about what happened in the past. Then that story, according to the interpretations of the rabbis and the scholars, has also a spiritual meaning and a prophetic meaning. Okay? So this story we will look at today will teach us something which spiritually or prophetically can be applied to our own lives also. And the story is found in the book of Genesis. This is chapter 24. So in this chapter, the Bible is presenting us a whole chapter. It's amazing. You know, a story of the servant of Abraham, Father Abraham, being sent by Abraham to his kindred, you know, his relatives in a foreign country to find and bring what? A bride for his beloved son Isaac. And immediately I can introduce and enter into the spiritual interpretation of the story, because this story, as a type and shadow, you see the life of Joseph. Do you know that the life of Joseph, although was his personal life, the way it's presented in the Bible, according to the scholars, is one of the greatest types and shadows of Jesus Christ himself and his ministry and life. So in this story also we can find some nuggets which will help us to be just boosted in our obedience and surrender to the Lord joyfully, willingly, with a greater expectation. So immediately I can introduce the interpretation. What we see here in the very beginning, we see, if I can say, a Trinity working in cooperation. And as you know, we believe in the Trinity of God, because that's what, although it's for us, we have a great struggle to understand something which is not from our earthly dimension, you know, and sphere, talking about the Trinity. But we see the Trinity presented in the New Testament. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. God the Father spoke from heaven concerning his what? Beloved Son. You see, he addresses Jesus as his beloved Son. And we see the person of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus as a dove. So definitely there is a Trinity idea presented by the Bible to our understanding. And in this story we see Abraham working like God the Father, you know. And we see Isaac like his only beloved son, and we see Eliezer as the Holy Spirit, because for some amazing reasons, when you translate Eliezer from Hebrew to English, it means simply the help of God. Eliezer, or the helper of God. And when we go to the New Testament, John chapter 14, we see that great, amazing promise of Jesus: I will not leave you orphans, I will not leave you alone, I will send you the helper, which is who? It is the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see exactly in this story. God the Father doesn't go to find the bride, leader goes the son Isaac. It is this person who is the helper who is sent from another country, from another sphere and land to a foreign place on a purpose to find someone who doesn't live in that spot of region, you know, but yet it is of the same family. Rebecca, who became a bride, actually is a daughter of Laban, and Nahor, you know, these names are given, you know, but they were blood close relatives to Abraham. And you know what is amazing, folks? Yes, we live in this world. God is in heaven. Are you with me? Isn't that amazing? Come on, folks. That will must give you some, kind of excitement, because although he is far and high above us, he wanted to be involved in everything we are, and he invited us, he found us, he invited us to become partakers of the divine family, of the divine nature, as the Gospel of John says, to those who received him, he gave the power, the authority, and the right to become, listen to this, children of the Most High God. Wow! Proceeding out of the same nature, of the same spirit. Isn't that an amazing privilege? I'm telling you, your skin color, your background, your origin, your bank account, your education are not that important in this case, because I'm telling you, one day, the only thing which will make difference on this earth will be from whom are you born of God himself. Thank you, Jesus. So we see that Jesus ascended and sat beside the right side of the Father. And the New Testament addresses Jesus with this title, which is amazing, the bridegroom. The bridegroom. The book of Revelation constantly speaking about the bridegroom and the bride. Okay, we have God the Father. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the beloved Son of God. We have the Holy Spirit sent by God in this earthly realm and sphere to seek and find a bride, a group of people, a body of Christ, which one day will be the most privileged group of people ever to exist on earth. Because I'm telling you, nothing compares with that to be a bride of the bridegroom. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Listen, you may have the best lawyer. That doesn't mean you will spend your life with him. Amen. You may have the best doctor or dentist. That doesn't mean you will spend the rest of your life with him. But if you are a bride, if you are married to one of these, you see, and the Bible says that we got engaged in a union. We became one. Paul says it's a great mystery. Family is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church, which is his bride. And now we see, listen, this story unfolds in an amazing way. So the servant takes of the best of the house and the possessions of his master. He takes 10 camels, heavily loaded with what? With goods. Why is that needful? Why is that required? Because you see, come on, folks, these people he's seeking for and trying to find, they've never seen the glory of Abraham. They know nothing about Abraham. And there was, how you call this in English, according to the custom and according to the culture, if you marry a woman, you need to pay a kind of dowry? Is that dowry? Okay. And you need to present this dowry like you're paying the price. Do you understand that a great price was paid for us? Not silver and gold, Peter says, but the precious blood of Lamb, the Lamb of God. But then the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit is anointed to present to you, to give you, and to put on you gifts, divine, godly gifts which come from the heart and the bosom of the Father. And imagine Eliezer coming to the place, and he is glorious. Amen. He is mighty. He carries the glory of his master in his possession. Praise God. And I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit, we will be poor people. Not materially, but spiritually poor. We will be poor on vision, poor on joy, poor on purpose, and all kind of things like that. But once the Spirit comes and reaches and enters into your life, listen, he doesn't come alone. He comes with the possession of everything his heavenly master is, caring and having and possessing on your disposal. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the way the story goes, it's very interesting. Now, finally, it was a long journey, and I'm telling you, it was a long way for the Holy Spirit to come. Generation after generation, are you with me? After generation, and finally, Jesus finished the work of our redemption and salvation, went to be with the Father, and yet they had to wait 50 days. 50 days obedient to the commandment of the Lord, wait in Jerusalem for the promise. Capital P. I'm telling you, it's amazing, guys. It's amazing. Don't miss the promise of God. God has promised that he will be with you. God has promised that he will transform you. He will give you everything required for life and godliness in the face of the Holy Spirit. And finally, Eliezer reached that place just as the Holy Spirit came on the day of the Pentecost, 120 people, and just blessed them miraculously from above. From that moment, heaven was open, torn apart, never closed back till today. Heaven is still open. This divine flow of supernatural power and glory still flowing and seeking for obedient people who desire and seek after him. And you see, Eliezer came, and instead of just, oh, praise God, instead of just seeking around and asking questions and doing in the human way with a human logic, he decided to trust God. He didn't enter in the city. He didn't enter in the village. Are you with me? He camped his little group of people and the camels, he positioned them outside of the city. Outside of the city gates. Beside what? The Bible says, beside a well of living waters. Listen to me. If you are not thirsty, if you are not interested of the living waters, you will miss the point. You will miss. I'm telling you, these city walls, the city limits, they represent this current world. But do you know that the Bible has called us to turn our backs to the world and turn to the Lord and go out, the Bible says, of the city gates to seek after Jesus in the book of Hebrews. Let us also go after him who suffered outside of the city gates to find everything God has stored for us. What I mean is salvation, purposes of the Lord won't be found in the wells of this world. Amen. I'm telling you, this there are places where people try to find satisfaction, but these are not the good wells. They're wells of bitterness and they're wells of disappointment. But if you go outside of the city to the true well in the face of the Holy Spirit, you will be richly blessed beyond your expectation. And he sat beside that well waiting. And you know how Jesus compared the Holy Spirit with what? With a well of living waters. So finally, he prayed to the Lord and he said, let the girl, now he's putting some limitations, making the task even more difficult. Isn't that amazing? He didn't enter in the city impressing people and everybody goes like, oh, who is this? What is he looking for? And everybody trying to take him on their side. No, he's standing outside and now he's putting some more requirements. Let the girl which comes out first. Do you want to be first when you are running to God? Amen. That's really appreciated. Come to the well and I ask her, give me some drink. Give me a little drink from your jar. And she says, drink and I will water and I will give a drink to your camels also. Let her be the chosen one. Wow, what about if she doesn't like it or she's busy? Are you with me? Or she has tasks to do or she's too overwhelmed or she's currently not feeling good? She will miss the point. Come on, folks. This is a beautiful story about us and the church that we are also compelled and invited to come to a place where we will become interested. Not of our own agendas and whatever we are facing. These things we don't despise. They are important. But when it comes to the Lord, do we have that heart, soft heart, also to surrender, to obey and go with the flow of the Spirit? Let that girl which says, I will water your camels also, she be the one chosen for the son of my master Isaac. Haha. You see, the requirement of Abraham was, if you find a girl and she doesn't want to come to this place, then you will be free of this oath. You can come back free without any obligation. Because Eliezer said, what if she doesn't want to leave her land or family? And Abraham said, then you will be free from this responsibility. It's okay, but don't bring my son there from where it departed and came out. Do you understand that we are the ones called to go to him? Jesus is not coming back the way he was once on earth. He's coming, definitely. It's promised in the Bible. But the apostle says when he comes, he doesn't come to deal with sin and death. He has already finished with that. Now he is seeking for people who want to participate his kingdom, his glory, and to become his own. To respond to that this finished work. And now Eliezer is sitting. Rebecca comes out. She's the right one. She's the chosen one. She meets Eliezer. She draws water in the jar. And Eliezer runs and he says, like, give me some drink. She pours out and she goes like, my master, drink. And I will pour out for your camels also. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, and I will pour out for your camels also until they are satisfied. I love this place. I mean, this biblical passage, that point. Which means she stopped time, she stopped purposes, tasks, whatever was waiting, whatever she was involved, and she totally surrendered to this great man and servant for what he was expecting, what his requirement was. She started pouring out. I made a calculation. I'm that kind of a person. When the Bible talks details, I pay attention. I made a calculation how much a camel drink, you know, normally, how much water it takes for 10 camels, how many liters of water, and actually how much time it would have taken 1 hour at least for every camel to be to come to a place of satisfaction. When she was done, she was not wretched. She was the most happiest woman in the world. Jumping for joy a little bit. Ha, ha, ha. The devil is a liar. He always comes and says, you will be wretched. You will lose your freedom. You will become like a monk. You won't be able to enjoy this, to enjoy that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When you are done with the will of the Father, saying yes and surrendering, I'm telling you, you will turn to the most, one of the most blessed, happiest person in this world. It's one thing to think nothing satisfies like you, and nothing satisfies but you. But it is another thing not just to know it, but to experience it. And we are called also to come to an expiration level of our faith. Immediately when she was done and finished, you know, whew, boy, maybe sweaty, who knows. And immediately the servant took out what? Took out gold, heavy jewels. Are you with me? Heavy jewels of earrings and rings for her hands, and immediately rewarded and gave it to her. God is not using you. God doesn't have a need of you. God is promoting you. Promoting you and blessing you. And she was tremendously blessed. And she didn't stop there. Immediately she invited the servant, you know, in her house, in her own life and possession. She said, there is straw for the animals, there is food, there is shelter, come, enter. Isn't that amazing? That immediately when we want to follow, to partake into this will of God, we invite Him deeper and deeper into our lives, and He becomes a vital part of everything we are involved and everything we hear. I bless you right now that not just your seat on this pew is yours, for reserved for God. I bless you that your house, your kitchen, your laundry room, your car, every place you sit, every place you go, the Holy Spirit will feel free to come, invited to partake, to be involved in everything. The atmosphere just under the influence and under the dominion of the Holy One, who alone can bless us with a blessing beyond every measure. Oh, praise God, precious people. Praise God. So Eliezer entered, he told his story, and the final expectation is, shall Rebecca go with him? Oh, what a beautiful moment when she said, asked by her parents, because the parents said, but let the girl stay with us for, let's say, 10 days, something like that. And the servant said, no, don't delay. Are you with me? Don't delay. Don't delay my journey, my coming back, since the Lord gave me success and blessed me. You know, let us be as immediate as possible. So they turned to Rebecca. Are you willing to go with this man? And she said, yes. She didn't see Isaac. She knew nothing about Isaac. The whole impression was given to her by the Holy Spirit. Do you see? You cannot so personally be involved with Jesus and in Jesus if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus said, no one can. Now, I mean, the Apostle Paul said, no one can address the Lord God as Lord, but with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it's not possible. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, precious folks, I just want to encourage you. And just want to, invite you to be more bold, to be more certain when the Holy Spirit comes and gives you some kind of divine intentions, you know, for something. As I told you, not going to Zimbabwe, God sends you there, that's awesome, that's great, you know. But as I told you, for the small things which God has commanded you. Come on, folks. You see, Paul says, listen to this, rejoice at all times. Are you there yet? I'm not. I learned that recently. 35 years of ministry, prophet, minister of God, being in the jail, persecuted, you know, no scandals, faithful to the ministry, faithful to God. And recently, I'm in a prophetic meeting, you know, and the Lord comes to me and he says, you know, Mitko, every time you express any kind of remorse or you are complaining, you are wasting your time and you are wasting my time. I realized something. Sometimes we complain not for something sinful, just for the heavy traffic, just for this left turn stoplight, just for someone on the line talking with the cashier for hours. Amen. We feel justified. Come on, folks. And we think because it's not right and we're justified, it's rightly to complain and it's rightly to speak, you know, against those things. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, rejoice at all times. So I started practicing it. And you know, listen to me. This huge minister, you know, 35. It was new to me. It was strange unto my nature. But my nature is appointed to become after him, you know, and to follow him. And I started being grateful. And I started, you know, the most pronounced phrase in my life, you know, in the last months and year is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is let's talk about Jesus. Uh-huh. When the enemy tries to, you know, put something in my mouth or in my mind, which is of him, the serpent, I go immediately, let's talk about Jesus. Not about this and that. Let us be thankful. Now, we think that it robs you from your expressions, from your own personality. No, it robs you from sickness. It robs you when you obey God. When you obey God and you rejoice, it robs you from your sickness. It robs you from your bitterness. It robs you from being, you know, not feeling good and all kinds. Because do you know how much your soul is involved in your body? Okay, listen to the link. Life is in the blood. Your soul, your soulish realm, your nefesh, the Hebrew, you know, is so much related to you because actually it is found in your very DNA, in the core of your cells, and it flows through your blood. And as you know, your blood goes to every organ and every part of your physical body. And if you're soulishly, mentally ill or whatever, you know, not feeling good and depressed and sad and angry, you know that I can tell looking at your eyes and at your face. How is this happening? Why we cannot hide it? You cannot hide it because the soul is related deeply with your body. And when the Lord says, rejoice at all times, you don't understand with your natural mind, but your spirit is seeking after. Amen. I'm done. I just want to finish, just bless you guys and pray for you. But listen, do not delay. Today is the day to say yes to this Eliezer, to this helper, the help of God sent to you to help you live victoriously, to help you get out of the pits of, downfall and everything we face like humans. Your human life is appointed to be a reflection of the grace and the greatness of God. I want to pray for you if you're feeling like ready to take decision today to have sensitivity, to the voice of God and everything he wants to lead you into, the spiritual growth and maturity, which are call to obedience also and stuff like that. Why don't you just make a line here and just I will lay my hands and I will pray every old root of bitterness and everything still lingering to be cut off and the sweetness of God to take over and to help you. It's not on your own. To help you to be obedient child of God by learning from Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We love you. We highly appreciate you. We have some products back on the table. Albena will be with the products. This is a devotional book I wrote years ago. Still very powerful, doesn't have an expiration date. Praise God. So if you're interested, yeah, that can be a great help to your bedtime and devotional time. Praise God. Pastor John, thank you so much for trusting me with this pulpit and this time. Come on, folks. Now is the time. Now is the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All the Lord is looking is to bless you, to promote you this day. This day, to be an imitator of your blessed Father. Your God is a happy God. He is not mad. He is not angry. Be imitators of God as beloved children. I pray over your son right now, precious Father. May the help of the Holy Spirit sustain, support, lift up above every limitation, above everything which we face as humans here on earth and stumble. You said that if we stumble, you will support us. And I pray for the support of the power and the glory of the face of the Holy Spirit to be always with you, said Jesus. I will send you someone, a helper, who will always be with you. He never leaves. Even when we bring some grief to him, he still stands and is ready to heal. I bless your child right now. Victory, blessing, glory, and joy. All yours. Never the same. All things new. Never the same. Yes. Never the same. Yeah. Yeah, because the root produces the fruit. God is taking care of the root, and your fruit will be different. Father, thank you for precious.